to even think about looking back now. I'm like Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing this morning. Well, you know, we've been talking about here for several weeks now, been looking at different situations in the Bible and talking about how we ought to be connected, or are you connected? And we'll look at that a little bit more this morning, but we're going to look at it in the reference to the cross and to the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know,
as I say, that's what this day is all about. I mean, this is a day that we celebrate a resurrected Lord. Amen? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. And I know that the world, like they do everything else, has tried to commercialize and sensationalize and marginalize the Christianity in it. But we've looked at, and we want to look at, the thought of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to take your Bible with me this morning. We'll do a little maybe unusual Bible verse for that, or Bible study for that. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and he's trying to emphasize to them the fact and the idea and the surety of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, that's what he says the whole thing is predicated upon. We talk about the gospel, and you'll notice that as we read this, that is what Paul refers to. The gospel. Man, we need to hear the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. We need to have the gospel. We need to be assured of this gospel, because, man, that's what saved you. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Amen? So, there's nothing else. And somebody said, "Well, preacher, what y'all got for people at church?" Well, you know, very succinctly, we've got the gospel. Amen. And that's all we're supposed to have, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren," this is Paul trying to kind of conclude, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards for they that are Christ at His coming. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank You, Lord, again for today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You that we do serve a risen Savior. I thank You that we know the resurrection is an established and a steadfast fact in our heart. Thank You for loving us today. Thank You for giving us a good time to worship. Thank You for the songs that we've enjoyed. Thank You for reminding us that we do have a better place to go. We've got a better life ahead. We've got some things that some of us don't even understand, and maybe none of us understand, but thank God we know one of these days we're going home to be with You, and we thank You, and we love You, and we praise You for that today, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, we're going to talk about this thought again of, are you connected? And the connection is this: are you connected by the resurrection? Are you connected by the resurrection? Paul has a problem here, it looks like, as he begins to talk about this. He said, we have preached the resurrection. He said, now, if Christ be preached, in verse number 12, he said, if we be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, there's a lot of things in this Bible and in your Christian doctrine and dogma that are just absolutes. Amen? I mean, and there's a lot of folks say, well, preacher, you know, we've talked about this on our Wednesday night study in the book of Titus. There's a lot of folks that will say, you know, doctrine's not that important. Why do y'all make such a big deal out of doctrine? Doctrine is a big deal. Doctrine is very important. For because of the doctrine and by the doctrine, everything that you believe and understand, it is built upon those basic foundational parts of the doctrine. Amen? I mean, you got to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that. Amen? You got to believe that Jesus lived a perfect and a sinless life, and I believe that. You got to believe that Jesus gave His life as a ransom for our salvation. You got to believe that. You got to believe that Jesus died and was buried and that He rose again on the third day. Amen? Amen. Because of those things, I mean, there is some importance that's placed, and especially upon the resurrection from the dead. And Paul is saying that right here. He's like, man, you've got to get this. You've got to believe this. You've got to know this, that Christ rose from the dead. He did. Amen. And let me just tell you, there's nobody else that's ever been recorded in the human history as far as a resurrection that had a resurrection like Jesus was on this wise. I mean, He told the crowd, He said, I will lay My life down for you, for your sin. I'll pay that debt. But then, if I lay My life down, I have the power to take it back up again. Amen? I don't know anybody else that's got that, do you? I don't know anybody else that can claim that. And I don't know anybody else that's ever done that except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm saying, are you connected, or you should be connected, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you just a couple of questions. Can you trust the resurrection of Christ? Or do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? Do you believe those things to be absolute fact? Paul is presenting this issue to these people. He said, now look, this is what I'm preaching. I'm preaching resurrection from the dead. He said, now I want to tell you something. In verse 12, he said, now if Christ be preached, if I'm preaching that He rose from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, there are some people that believe that. Amen? There are, as a matter of fact, in the days that Jesus lived, there was a group that was an influential religious group that's called the Sadducees. And the Sadducees did not believe in angels. And the Sadducees they had a pretty questionable questioning idea about the eternity and about what lies beyond this life. And the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And one old preacher said, that's why they're sad, you see. Amen. There was a lot of stuff that is essential to me and you believe, and they just didn't believe it. And I don't know if that's the influence here. I don't know who this is that has led this charge, if you will, in this church that says there is no resurrection. But Paul said, let's put that to bed. Amen? And as I said, I want me and you to be connected by our belief and our trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just ask these questions, and we'll go in this order. First of all, let's say this. What if there were no resurrection? What if all of this stuff that you and I are seeing, I mean, man, I say right now you can even turn on your television to the local stations and they're presenting a picture or some idea of the resurrection. Maybe you see a picture of an empty tomb. Thank God that says He resurrected. I mean, you see somebody doing a little special on the garden tomb out in Israel. I mean, you see all these things. And the idea is this. They're saying, we are presenting the fact and the idea of the resurrection. But what if that resurrection is not so? And it is not true. What would that mean for me and you? Well, I want you to look at a few things that Paul says here, and let's see what he says it means if we don't have a resurrection. Look in verse number 14 and notice what Paul says. He said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Look in verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sin. Let me say this first of all. If there were no resurrection, I want to tell you, your faith is not valid. Your faith is a bunch of phony baloney. I mean, you and I have got something that we sing about. We've got something we talk about. We've got something we rejoice over. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then your faith, Paul says, that there's no validation of your faith. I mean, somebody could come up to you and they could say, well, what do you believe about life and the afterlife? You say, well, I believe that Jesus, oh, there's no such thing as a resurrection. We don't believe in it. And if we got to that point, if preachers got up and got to that point, if the church got to that point, then what in the world are we doing here in the first place? Why'd we come to church? I'm telling you, your faith in what you believe is vain. Can I tell you, your faith crumbles all along the line if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Because if He didn't rise from the dead, your faith is vain. I mean, I'm telling you, your belief is just wobbly. I mean, you've got all kinds of issues. Then maybe the virgin birth wasn't true. Then maybe the fact that He lived a good life wasn't true. Somebody's lied to you. Somebody's told you a story. Somebody's got you to swallow something that is not true. And man, we're all in trouble. And your faith is in vain. You can't trust this Bible. You can't believe these words are true. And if that's so, then buddy, anything anybody else wants to believe or say could possibly be an answer for everything that goes on. So what if there was no resurrection? Well, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, your faith's not valid. What if there were no resurrection? Well, second of all, look again in verse number 17. He said, for if the dead rise, or verse, I'm sorry, 17, and if Christ be raised, listen, your faith, or be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Amen? I mean, not only if there were no resurrection, your faith is not valid, your forgiveness is not sure. You cannot be sure that your sin debt is gone. I mean, if there's no resurrection, then what in the world did Jesus die for? You know, there's a lot of folks. There's a lot of folks in this world that have died for a lot of good people and good deeds. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go back and read and you can see in World War I, World War II, and maybe the conflicts and fighting that's taken place, Vietnam and Korea, and I mean everything ever since. There's been a lot of folks die in those conflicts, in those wars. And they died for, we say that they died for their country. I mean, we talk about it here recently. You know, you've had a few soldiers that have died in this conflict with Iran, this situation. And they bring them back and they honor them. And they say, well, these men died. They're fighting for me and for you. And that's a good thing. I mean, they gave their lives fighting for something they believed in. But can I tell you, Jesus gave His life so that he might redeem everyone that would come to him from their sin. And that he died. He told us that he was going to pay that price on Calvary, and that you and I know it's so because he was coming out of that grave in 3 days. You can rest assured on this, he said, that, man, if I die, he said, as I told you earlier, he said, I got the power to lay my life down. I'm going to lay it down, he said, but I'm going to take it back up in 3 days. 3 days, as the, he says, as Noah was in, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, he said that the Son of Man was going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And he said, after that, I'm coming out of here. I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to come back to life. There's no other major religion that I know of that teaches those facts, that that's who is the head of that church. Can I tell you, you can go find where Muhammad was buried. You can go find where the head of the Hindu church. You can go find Gandhi's grave. I mean, you can go find some of these famous religious people. Their graves are still marked. But I'm telling you, over in the Middle East, in a little tomb over in the city of Jerusalem, that tomb is empty that our Savior was buried in. Amen? And you know what happened because of that? My sins are gone. Amen? Without that fact, there'd be no forgiveness of your sin. He said, then is you're yet in your sins. You're still indebted to God for your sins. If Jesus didn't come out of that tomb, you still owe the price of your sins. Amen? If that's not true, and Paul said, and there's some of y'all out there telling that, some of y'all out there talking about that. Some of y'all out there giving that as your gospel. He said, but I'm telling you about the gospel. And it said that Jesus died and he was buried, but he didn't stop there. And he rose again. Amen? So your faith is not valid if there's no resurrection. Your forgiveness is not sure. And let me tell you this. Because of that, your future is very unsettled, isn't it? Your future. Look what he says in verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we're of all men most miserable. Hey, if the resurrection's not so, then you're dead and you're gone. And we don't know we don't know where you're going. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what the outcome of this thing is. If that's the way that it is. But aren't you glad that you know the truth? Amen? Oh, he says, I'm telling you, if Christ were not resurrected from that grave, if it had not been for that morning, I've been reading and studying through a lot of stuff this week and reading those four chapters, and this is one of those things that you find in every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the generally the last chapter. John, it's the next to last chapter, but in the last chapter, though, you'll see where that it says, very early on the first day of the week. And it talks about the women that came to the tomb where Jesus was. They were going to anoint or re-anoint his body with the spice preparations that they'd made in preparation for the burial of the dead, because everything was done so hastily the day that he died and all those things that went on. They were coming to the grave to re-anoint. But when they got there, and it talks about, you know, every one of the Gospels has a little different idea or thought or presentation on it. It's all the same thing. But there were some angels there. There were some men there robed in white. And it says on one of them that one of them sat on top of the stone. And they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen just like he said. And then the angel told Mary and the women that were there, go and tell his brethren that he is risen. And boy, you go back and you read that and you see that it says when they went to, that they said, well, they seemed as idle tales. They had a hard time believing that. And I'm telling you, I know people have a hard time believing that Jesus rose from the dead today. But can I tell you, that's where your faith kicks in. Amen? You got to believe it. So what if there were no resurrection? Then, boy, your future sure is uncertain. But Jesus, because he resurrected, thank God, hey, we've got the 40 days that he was here after his resurrection. And on that 40th day, he took his disciples out to a mountain, out to the Mount of Olives, and he talked to them a little bit, and he said, boys, I'm getting ready to go. He said, but I want y'all to know something. I'm going, but I'm coming back again. Brother James Langston said Jesus stepped out on a cloud. He looked at the porter there and said, heaven, please. And the cloud began to rise out of their sight. And these men stand there staring, looking up, and all of a sudden here come some angels in the heavens, and they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away is coming again in like manner. You know what that does? That settles it for me that my future is taken care of because he arose from the dead and he ascended to the heavens. Amen? All right, so what is the proof? Let's ask this. What is the proof of this resurrection? What is it? Well, I just believe this. I'll say, first of all, that we have the Scriptures as proof. Listen to what Paul says here in this writings in the earlier part of this chapter. He says, he's talking about how that he had preached. He said, by which you're also saved. Talking about the gospel in verse 2. If you have kept in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. He said, for I delivered unto you, in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And then look in verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We've got the Scriptures that tell us that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. We got the Scriptures. You got Bible on that. And listen, Paul's not talking about the things that he wrote. I mean, he hasn't written his part. We haven't established those things that he's written in the Bible. What he's talking about is the Old Testament. He can take you all the way back to Genesis and show you where that the Lord said out in the garden to the devil that he's going to, you might bruise him a little, but he's absolutely going to step on and smash and crush your head. Amen. Hey, what does that mean? That means somebody got to come back from the dead to fulfill that Scripture. You might hurt him, you might wound him, but he's a coming back again. Amen? And then you can look all through the Scriptures. There is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy how that Jesus is resurrected, or how that the Lamb, the Savior, the servant of the Lord is resurrected from the dead. He's going to do it. Amen? He's going to do those. I mean, you look in Psalm, in the book of the Psalms and see many of the songs that Psalm 22, 23, 24, how that it talks about that great king and how that he's coming back. Thank God he's resurrected from the dead. He's going to come back in glory. You can look in Isaiah 53 and you can see that story, how that it's the suffering servant of the Lord. I mean, you look at all those Scriptures. And Paul said, look, I've told you by the Scriptures that he was going to come, that he was going to die, that he's going to be buried, and that he's going to rise again. Amen. Amen? According to Scripture. You've got Scriptures. But not only do you have the Scriptures, you've got, Paul says, you've got the sightings of those that saw him after he arose. Look there, if you will, in chapter 15. Notice what he says in verse 5. He said, and that he was seen. It's talking about Jesus. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Some are fallen asleep. After that, he's seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, he's seen of me. And Paul said, hey, we got a bunch of folks that will sit down and sign an affidavit and said, we saw him after y'all say that he died. Amen. We saw him as a resurrected Christ. Amen. You know the stories. As I said, there were those women there at the tomb, and they were heartbroken, and they didn't know what to do. All of them had left but one by the name of Mary. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is there, and she's weeping. She's brokenhearted. She's upset because she's looked in the tomb, and he's not there. And she's not sure what's going on. And the angels, they've even talked to her and told her he's not here. But she's still mixed up. She's still not sure. And she's outside the tomb, according to what John says in the 20th chapter of John. She's outside weeping her eyes out. And she sees a man that the Bible says she supposes he's the gardener, the tender, the caretaker of that cemetery. And she looks at him, and you can see, you know how it is when you're so upset and distraught and broken, and you start, you don't know what's going on. I mean, you're not sure what you're seeing. You're not even really looking. You're otherwise occupied. But she looked at this man, and she said, "Sir, where have you taken him? What have you done with my Lord? Where's he at?" And it said that Jesus, it was Jesus she thought, she didn't even realize it was him. And then he just said one word. He said, "Mary." And when he said that, she turned around and she fell at his feet and she said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Hallelujah. She knew who he was then. Hey, I'm telling you, there was a bunch of folks that saw him. Even beyond that, she goes back and tells them, said, "I've seen the Lord. He's here. I don't." And they doubted that. But then he showed up right in the middle of them, didn't he? He showed up right in the midst of all of them. And he proved to them that he said, "Look, here's my hands." He said, stick your hand over here on this side. Let's see how that works." And, brother, isn't that amazing? Thomas said, "Well, you know, I wasn't here." Amen. Thomas missed, as somebody said, Thomas missed Wednesday night prayer meeting when Jesus showed up. And he said, "I ain't going to believe it." Well, Jesus just showed up the next time he was there. And he said, "Thomas, stick out your hands here." He said, here's these imprints in my hand. Here's the cut in my side." And Thomas fell before him and said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Oh, he believed it. What I'm saying is, there is the proof of those that saw him. As he resurrected, they saw him beyond the grave. Then, let me tell you, there are the stories of those that are saved. And you heard stories of folks, and they said, "I want to tell you about how the Lord came to me. I want to tell you what the Lord, how that he showed up." As a matter of fact, Paul tells these stories. I'm telling you, Paul says, "I want you to know, I talked to him. He was there with me in the storm. He was there with me when it seemed like I was going to die. He was there with me when it seemed like I had no hope." He said, "The Lord looked at me and he told me, hey, I'm here. It's the resurrected Savior that I talked to." There are stories. Aren't you glad you got stories of people that have told you how that the Lord done? You say, "Well, preacher, they didn't seem." They didn't seem maybe like you and I with an eyeball. But man, by the eye of faith, they saw him. They visited with him. They had a holy time of worship and communion with him. And brother, they know that their Redeemer lives. Amen? They know that their Savior lives. So, I mean, you got all kinds of proof. Can I tell you this? There is just the sense of reasoning that says that Jesus is risen. The Roman guards were placed at the tomb of Jesus. Y'all remember that story? I mean, these are Roman guards. These ain't little penny-ante guys. They're standing, and you know what happens? The angel comes down. You know what they do? They crumble like a deck of cards. They just fold up. They're gone. They're knocked out. And the angel moves the stone. And when those soldiers come to, they realize something's happened. He's gone. And they go and report to their superiors. And they say, "Well, you better tell everybody. Here, we'll give you a little money on the side. Y'all tell everybody his disciples came and stole him away." Can I tell you, the disciples didn't come and get Jesus. You know why? They're holed up in a room wherever they're all gathered together. They're scared. They're afraid something's going to happen to them. They're all in fear and trembling because when Jesus comes in, they've got a locked door. Nobody's coming in because they don't know what to do. They're all tore up. Jesus comes in and calms them. I'm telling you, friend, hey, the sense of logic says this. The Roman soldiers didn't get him. The disciples didn't get him. So who got him out of that tomb? The story is as real as what Jesus said himself. "I will take my life up and I'll get out of this tomb by myself." Amen? And I'm telling you, I believe that story, don't you? The old guy said, "That's my story and I'm sticking to it." But guess what now? The science And archaeological proofs that we have in our day and time are proven that Jesus was resurrected. There are people that have spent years and days and times on every biblical excavation they can go to try to find some proof of all. And you know what? They keep coming up. We're going to disprove this. And every time when they walk away, you know what? Well, the Bible's real. The Bible's true. And the Bible does tell us. There's His name. There's the events that happen. And it just keeps turning up greater and greater proof that Jesus lived and that He died and that He was seen again after His death. Amen? I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of proof out there that Jesus did come back from the dead. The resurrection. So, close it up by saying, what's keeping you from believing in the resurrection? You remember in the Jesus telling the story of the rich man, Luke 15, raised up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And if you remember in that story, the rich man begs Abraham, he said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus, who was then comforted and been begging and was in a bad way during his life. He said, send Lazarus that he may warn. He said, I've got five brothers. And send them that he may warn them that they do not come to this terrible place. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham. He said, you just please send Lazarus. He said, no, they've got what they need. And would they be persuaded though one rose from the dead? He was thinking about Lazarus. I'm thinking about Jesus. Lazarus didn't come back from the dead. That Lazarus didn't, that poor beggar Lazarus. But I'm telling you, Jesus resurrected from the dead. And brother, what's keeping you from believing that story? Let me ask you this. Do you have any other hope that is assured? Look again in verse number 18. Paul says this, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there's no resurrection, hey, you give me, what other hope have you got? What other choice are you going to cling to? What other idea are you going to believe? Amen? There's people that try to tell you and say, well, preacher, don't you know that this whole thing, it's just reincarnation. You come back and you come back and you come back and you come back. Well, y'all look at me now. This is what I come back as. Okay? You couldn't get much better than this. Say amen. I used to be a gnat. I used to be a flea. And now I used to be a monkey hanging from a banyan tree. But now I'm a professor in a college with a PhD. Amen. That's what some folks think. That is how some folks reason in some of these things. They have got the idea that, boy, you come back. Listen, that's just ridiculous. I'm telling you, the only person that's ever come out of the grave that has lived now is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But you have no other hope. You have nothing else to grab a hold of. You have nothing else. Aren't you glad you can sing that song sometimes? Brother William sang it here the other day. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm born of His Spirit. I'm washed in His blood. There's nothing else that you can have as a blessed assurance. You've got no other hope. You've got no other assurance in this world. There's nothing else you've got. Do you have any other solution for death that awaits? Look in verse number 22. He says, for as in Adam, all die. Can I tell you, while we're here in this earth and we're descendants of the Adamic race, every man is going to taste death. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 20 said that after this is the judgment. After our life is the judgment. And it's appointed unto man that everybody's going to die. And wants to die, and then you're going to stand before God in the time of judgment. What else do you think you've got? What other solution for death is waiting for you out there other than that? There is nothing. Paul says, I'm telling you, man, that Adam, everybody that's in Adam, they're all going to die. But aren't you glad for the second part of that? He said, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. When you get in Christ, you have the opportunity of life. I mean, do you have any other Savior that there is that can apply to your situation? You got any other Savior? Look in verse number 1 and notice what Paul said. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The only thing that you've got for salvation and a Savior is the gospel. Paul said, that's where you stand. There's nothing else to stand on. You got, Jesus said, if a man built his life and his hopes and his dreams, he said, if you built your life on the things of this world, you'd be like that man that built his house on the sand, and when the storms came, when the wind blew, when the troubles came his way, his house fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen? That's where you'll be if you don't stand upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this then. Why not trust the Lord Jesus and this gospel, the only gospel given for your eternal salvation? It's the only thing you've got. Amen? The songwriter said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's where you are this morning. That's where you are. Unless you trust Christ and that resurrection from the dead. Oh, I tell you, as I said, read all those Gospels this week, been reading them, and you see where those angels said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Jesus isn't among the dead. You remember when he ran into John on the Isle of Patmos? John got cast out on the Isle of Patmos. And boy, those old fellas said, look at this old nutty preacher. We're going to put him out here. He'll be by himself. He'll go crazy. He won't have anybody to talk to. He won't get anything done. He won't affect anybody else's life. And you know what happened? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, and then all of a sudden I heard a voice. And he turned around, and who did he see? The living Lord. And you know what the Lord said to him? I'm he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Woo, aren't you glad you got that kind of Savior today? I mean, have you trusted Jesus as your eternal Savior to give you everlasting life today? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. Maybe you're here. Boy, you need to be saved. You need Jesus to make a difference in your life. You need to come and just simply trust in a risen, resurrected, ever-living Lord and Savior. He's alive.